The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
After that, the president will hold a press conference. I guess a big boy press conference is what we're calling it.
Yeah, it will be. It'll be more than four reporters for sure. But how long it's going to take is going to depend on how many questions he gets asked. Because as you know, every reporter likes to ask more than one question. And of course, how long he takes to answer them. So I can't give you a time certain, but it'll be a substantial press conference again with multiple reporters and him by himself calling on them.
When you look at the numbers, he's done 36 news conferences to date since he's been in office. That's not as many as his predecessors had done. Trump had done 64 by this point, Obama 72, Bush 82. But he is going to be speaking tomorrow. Yeah. How high do you think the stakes are for that press conference tomorrow?
Look, I don't think we should set the stakes too high. I think we should be looking at how he's doing at the event today with the AFL-CIO. Speaking to, obviously, a supportive group. They endorsed him, but unscripted, no teleprompters. I hope he does well. I expect he'll do well. But I have said to my colleagues, remember who Joe Biden is. We can't set a bar so high that who Joe Biden's been for 30 years can't clear it. He's always had a slight stutter.
We can't set the bar too high for Joe Biden. It's just a stutter. It's been three decades. Don't hold him to a standard that he can't achieve. I mean, these sound bites just get more and more shocking. The way they're talking about Joe Biden, that was John Kirby who came out there. I'm assuming he was trying to be funny when he said it's going to be a big boy press conference. But that's been the joke the last 4 years since the basement campaign, was that he has to have his hand held as he walks somewhere. There's got to be the handler, the babysitter there. And now he's going to go out for the big boy press conference. Just like we played the clips from his first one, March 25th, 2021, when he had all of the reporters selected. And now we know he gives them the questions in advance. The big boy press conference. Don't hold the bar too high. It's just a stutter. The Associated Press on July 3rd. This is after the debate, after June 27th, after that pivotal day. Associated Press says Biden at 81, often sharp and focused, but sometimes confused and forgetful. It happens to all of us, good days and bad days. It was just a bad debate. And the White House was exposed earlier this week for giving questions to journalists. We've seen this go on. And then the journalist there, he's sharp. He's sharp, sometimes confused and forgetful, but that happens to all of us. Welcome back to The Trumpet Daily. I'm Sam Livingston. I will be your guest host on today's show. Mr. Stephen Fleury is giving his voice a break. It sounds like, from what he told me this morning, he's feeling better. So hopefully he'll be back on the show tomorrow with a strong voice. If you have any comments for the show, send those to td@thetrumpet.com. July 11th, this was supposed to be Donald Trump's sentencing day, the big sentencing day in Manhattan with Judge Mershon. They've delayed that case, I believe, or delayed the sentencing hearing, I believe, until September. I don't remember the exact date, but they want to delay that so that they can factor in the latest Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity. July 11th, instead, today is going to be big boy press conference day. I think that's happening later on today after the show. But I wanted to comment a little bit just about Biden's recent interactions with the media. This was a quote from ABC News. It says, second local radio host says they were given questions ahead of Biden interview. Now, they act like this hasn't been going on. There have been pictures leaking for the past few years where Biden's holding this note card. You see the journalist's face on the card, the name, who they work for, and the questions that they're going to ask and how Biden should respond to that. that's been the press conferences, and I doubt today will be any different. John Kirby says it's going to be the big boy press conference. Is he going to go out there with no note cards? Is he going to have the binder to read from? I mean, this is insanity, what is happening in our country. I mean, half of you, you know, you want to laugh at what's going on, but then it's so sad. What an embarrassment. I'll talk about it later in the show. What an embarrassment. This is the great United States, the greatest superpower the world has ever known. And the person that supposedly represents this nation just fumbles out there with note cards and can't answer simple questions without reading from a script. ABC says a second local radio host on Saturday told ABC News that he was provided a list of questions in advance of his interview with President Joe Biden this week. "Yes, I was given some questions for Biden," Earl Ingram of Civic Media told ABC News. Says he was given five questions. He ended up asking four of them. No shame in doing this. This is the puppet media. And these guys, these are lower level. They're going to do what you tell them to do because they don't want to risk losing their job. This is a big break for them to be able to interview the fake president of the United States. So if you give them a set of questions, rest assured they will ask them. And Biden will be ready. He's sharp, as the AP said. He's sharp, focused, sometimes confused and forgetful. ABC says on CNN earlier Saturday, Andrea Lawful Sanders, the host of WRD's The Source, said Biden officials provided her with a list of eight questions ahead of their interview with Biden. She says, "The questions were sent to me for approval. I approved of them. I got several questions, eight of them, and the four that were chosen were the ones that I approved." So it makes it sound like I was going to ask him anyway, but now he knows, coming into the big boy interview, he knows what to say. Everything is scripted. It's a fake world. That radio host, she was actually fired, well, they say it was a parting of ways, because that radio station was so embarrassed by this. This is Fox News. Radio station parts ways with host after admitting White House gave her questions before Biden interview. It says the CEO of the station announced that they have mutually agreed to part ways, emphasizing that WRD, actually I don't know what that radio station, WURD radio is not a mouthpiece for the Biden campaign or any other administration. They're embarrassed by this, but these journalists, the Columbia academics, they just go right along with it. I mean, I'm surprised they came around and admitted that and said it out in the open. You're watching something unprecedented unfold in this nation. It feels like a sitcom some days. It feels like this can't be real. It feels fake, and it is fake in so many ways, but this is the reality of how the United States, how this superpower, like Rome, falls. I mean, history books will be talking about these moments for the rest of eternity. Biden campaign over the last 2 weeks since the debate, this is NBC News, it's already disastrous. Biden campaign fundraising takes a major hit. President Joe Biden's campaign has already suffered a major slowdown in donations, and officials are bracing for a seismic fundraising hit with the fallout from a debate nearly 2 weeks ago taking a sizable toll on operations, according to four sources close to the re-election effort. "It's already disastrous," one of the sources close to Biden's re-election said of fundraising. "The money has absolutely shut off," another source close to the re-election said. Two of the sources said this month is on a path to be down by possibly half or much more. I mean, this is amazing. This is the campaign that was bragging a couple months ago about how they were comfortable with their position. Even though they were down in the polls, they were bringing in more money. They had the big glitzy fundraisers bringing in $30 million hauls from the celebrities in Hollywood. And who's pulling the plug? Is it the small donors? Of course not. It's the large donors. It's the elites, like Biden says. There is a schism in this party right now. I'll play a clip for you. This is from CNN. They have Harry Enten on. He's the pollster on that channel. A lot of people are watching his clips and saying, he's closet MAGA. I mean, he's not sugarcoating how bad this is for Biden. I've got a few comments and quotes on this later. Just CNN seems to be the one really piling it on Biden, whereas MSNBC and Scarborough, they're kind of coming to his aid and pushing back more against Barack Obama. But here is Harry Enten reporting on the latest polling numbers and how disastrous they are for Joe Biden. This is clip five.
But the fact of the matter is, you look at the national polling, the generic congressional ballot choice for U.S. House. Look at this. CNN poll, plus two Republican. Wall Street Journal poll, plus three Republican. Monmouth University poll, plus three Republican. Yeah, Joe Biden may be in slightly worse shape in these particular polls, but the fact is, when Biden's down 4, 5, 6 points in these polls, you can only run so far ahead of Joe Biden at this particular point, at least in the race for the House. It does seem like Republicans are ahead because Donald Trump is so far ahead.
What's the Senate landscape?
Yeah, what's the Senate landscape? I mean, take a look here. GOP needs just a gain of one for control if Trump wins. And their path is extremely clear because their best chance for a pickup opportunity is in West Virginia. That's a very likely GOP win with Joe Manchin retiring. And the best Dem pickup chance, perhaps to reverse that so the GOP doesn't gain a net gain of at least one, is Texas. But that's still a likely GOP win. So the fact is, if Donald Trump wins this election, the race for the Senate, for all intents and purposes in my mind, is over.
One of the things I have heard from Democrats running for Congress is, okay, if President Biden's not doing well, what we'll say is it makes it all that much more important to elect a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate. Maybe they can gain support that way. But does it work like that, split tickets anymore?
It really doesn't. Let's go back since 2000. Same party won presidency and Congress. Yes, five times. No, it was just one time in 2012, the House that year. But the House popular vote that year actually went Democratic, even though Republicans maintained control of the House. So the fact is, five out of six times, that's not good math. And let's just take a look at the Senate here. Senate and presidential races in 2016 and 2020. States that voted the same way in both, 68. States that voted for a different party, just one. That was Maine back in 2020. The fact is, straight ticket voting is the way of the land these days. The idea that Democrats down ballot could somehow outrun Joe Biden to such a great extent to win control in the House or maintain control in the Senate, that seems to me to be an unlikely proposition.
That is a pretty stark number.
Yeah,
that's a, right?
those are pretty clear numbers,
Harry. Thank you very much.
It's going to be too big to steal. Trump is outperforming the polls. We played that clip, Mr. Fleury played it earlier this week, about how they underestimate Donald Trump historically. And how are they going to steal this? How, if they do, how can you explain these polls away? I'm the biggest critic of polls. You're not going to find me just running out in support of them. But this is their system. This is how they gauge how to manage a campaign. And they're saying their only path at this point to maintaining control of the Senate is to win the seat in Texas. They are desperate. They know this isn't going to happen. Now, they are going to have their usual shenanigans. I'm sure they're not just going to give up on the drop boxes in Wisconsin. They're not going to give up on trying to harvest ballots from illegal immigrants. They're not going to give up on their voter ID laws and prohibiting those. But these are huge numbers, and Donald Trump doesn't need a lot. He doesn't need a lot to take Wisconsin, to take Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada. The last election, 2020, if you're gonna respect the numbers that they provided for you, Donald Trump only lost that election by 42,000 votes. That means if you swing 21,000 votes, 21,000 ballots in, I think it was Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin, that election is flipped. Too big to steal. And then Enten there, I think it's fascinating. He says the way it's been historically now is that straight ticket ballots, that's the way it is. There aren't split tickets. That was the main excuse in 2020. It's a split ticket. They voted for Joe Biden on the top, but they voted for the Republicans down below. Nobody does that. When they kept saying that, you're like, find me those people. You know, they always have the polling after the polls or after they vote, and they'll talk to people. They find me the person who said, I want Joe Biden on the top of the ticket, and then down ballot, I'm voting all Republican. Maybe there's a few thousand of them out of 150 million people who voted. They couldn't find them. They just said, this is the way it is. That's the fact of the matter. I'm still curious how many of those ballots just said Joe Biden at the top and didn't even have anybody selected down below. They had to do it quickly. But for him to say there that historically the split ticket doesn't happen anymore, ignore 2020. Just phase that one out. We're just going to move right past that. Anyway, I want to get into this George Clooney letter calling on Joe Biden to step down. This is a pretty seismic move here. I honestly was not expecting it to come from George Clooney of all people, but Barack Obama is very intertwined with Hollywood. I mean, when he was in the White House, that was the nickname was Hollywood East. He loved yucking it up with celebrities, made him feel important, made him feel cool. And he exercises a lot of control over Hollywood. The radical left loves Hollywood. They love academia. They love the media. They control all of these mediums to change and influence thought and behavior and character, societal patterns. Hollywood, this is where the movies are made. These movies are big propaganda. George Clooney, he's no different. He wrote this letter, and this is sent shockwaves through the Biden campaign, as we'll play a clip for you in just a minute here. But this letter is strong, and it's calling on Joe Biden to step down, and it's written, of all people, by George Clooney. Daily Mail, this is their political reporter in D.C., says, few celebrities are closer with Obama than George Clooney. You can bet he ran this statement about Biden by Barack before it went public. I suspect not only did he run it by Obama, but Obama probably told him to write it. Perhaps Obama wrote it. When you read it, I've not read anything from George Clooney. I don't know if he writes stuff. He's a movie maker, not even the greatest at that. But you read this, and you've probably read a lot of what Barack Obama has said and written, and it sounds like how Obama would talk. Lee Smith, he says, Obama is 100% speaking through Clooney. Why would George Clooney, of all people, come out and say this? Notice this clip. Joe Scarborough, like I mentioned earlier, MSNBC, they're moving into that Biden camp. I don't know why that is. Maybe there's more holdovers from the Biden administration who went to work for MSNBC. I don't know. But Joe Scarborough and a lot of the MSNBC hosts, I know there's a few on there who worked for the Biden campaign, who worked for him formerly as advisors, and maybe they just have that loyalty more towards him. But listen to what Scarborough said about this letter from George Clooney.
Say one thing that we do have to underline here, just so viewers can follow what's going on behind the scenes, is the Biden campaign and many Democratic officials do believe that Barack Obama is quietly working behind the scenes to orchestrate this.
That's pretty stunning. Scarborough on there, he talks about how people are always talking to him. I'm on the phone with so-and-so. This is how they feel. And they feel that Obama is quietly working behind this. I don't think it's quiet anymore. I'll talk a little bit about the Obama's nudge units. Remember those? How he would, you know, try to craft media stories and just work the psychological angles to get people to do things. I mean, these are nudges from Obama, probably. This letter from George Clooney, again, strong. Not what you would expect from a Hollywood actor of all people. I mean, he's trying to, I think, just rally the Hollywood elites against Joe Biden. This is George Clooney, and of all places, it's published in the New York Times. This opinion piece is titled, I Love Joe Biden, But We Need a New Nominee. The tone of this is exactly the way Obama would talk. There's the flattering language in there, to talk him up, all of the nice things he's done, But let's be honest. Let's have an honest conversation here. I tell the truth. Let me be clear. That's Obama. And you hear that tone in this letter. Clooney says, I have led some of the biggest fundraisers in my party's history. Barack Obama in 2012, Hillary Clinton in 2016, Joe Biden in 2020. Last month, I co-hosted the single largest fundraiser supporting any Democratic candidate ever for President Biden's reelection. I say all of this only to express how much I believe in this process and how profound I think this moment is. I love Joe Biden as a senator, as a vice president, and as a president. I consider him a friend, and I believe in him, believe in his character, believe in his morals. In the last 4 years, he's won many of the battles he's faced. But the one battle he cannot win is the fight against time. None of us can. It's devastating to say it, but the Joe Biden I was with 3 weeks ago at the fundraiser was not the Joe Biden of 2010. He wasn't even the Joe Biden of 2020. He was the same man we all witnessed at the debate. Wow. He says 3 weeks ago, Joe Biden was like that at that fundraiser. Remember the bit where Biden is standing on stage and he's looking out at the crowd and he just freezes up? And Barack Obama comes over and grabs his hand and he kind of startles back, and then Biden or Obama just leads him by the hand, and Karine Jean-Pierre the next day. That's a cheap fake. You need more context. And then the context is they give you the really panned out view where you can't see what's happening on stage, and then tell you, now what was happening here was whatever we tell you to happen. You don't have to believe the zoomed in shot that clearly showed it. But here George Clooney comes and says Biden was out of it at that fundraiser. Now, this is the fundraiser where Joe Biden was in Italy the day before, and it's the big G7 meeting, and that was also he was wandering off looking at the paratroopers again. They told us that was a cheap fake. But then this is they were going to have the big meetings about Ukraine, and he leaves to go to this fundraiser and leaves Kamala there to run America's foreign policy, I guess. And then he does the overnight flight. He's there for this fundraiser now, and he's tired. And George Clooney says it right there. We all saw it. But then they just say nothing for 3 weeks. Or sorry, that would have been what? 10, 12 days between there? No one would speak out then and say Biden was losing it. They raised $30 million for him that night, and they weren't going to say anything about his age. They were going to double down on the cheap fakes. They weren't going to go there, but then the debate happened. Then June 27th happened, and you couldn't explain it away. Clooney continues in this letter, is it fair to point these things out? It has to be. This is about age, nothing more, but also nothing that can be reversed. We are not going to win in November with this president. On top of that, we won't win in the House, and we're going to lose the Senate. This isn't only my opinion. This is the opinion of every senator and Congress member and governor who I've spoken with in private, every single one, irrespective of what he or she is saying publicly. This is not George Clooney. His wife, I'm sure she's tied in to a lot of this. She's very political. She was behind a lot of these UN resolutions against Israel, an anti-Semite. And for George Clooney to write this, to say this, when did he get so political? When did he get that involved? Where he's on the phone with members of Congress and senators, and he's speaking to them in private, and then he comes out probably with the strongest letter of them all, and everybody sees right through it. Everybody sees right through it. Everybody knows the game Obama is playing. They know. They knew in 2020 that Joe Biden was illegitimate. They knew he was Obama's puppet. Listen to the Biden campaign. I mean, they are lashing out now at Barack Obama. They are getting very upset because the puppet master it appears, is pulling the plug. I mean, listen to this excuse that they give. I mean, they're trying to throw now George Clooney under the bus. This is clip 7.
In response to those comments from George Clooney, Jake, a campaign official who attended that Los Angeles fundraiser tells me that George Clooney left 3 hours before the president. So clearly the gloves are off, Jake.
What does that mean that George Clooney left 3 hours? What's the point?
The point of that is to suggest that Biden's stamina is better than Clooney's, and Clooney didn't have, you know, eyes on the entire event. That's the response to the Clooney op-ed.
Okay.
Tapper's not buying it. Really? Clooney left. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Biden, he stayed through the whole thing. He's got more stamina than George Clooney. I mean, who is running that campaign? I mean, we've speculated for months. It's like someone is trying to sabotage them. And if you're Barack Obama, I mean, what a mockery he's made of this nation. There is no loyalty to Joe Biden. Mr. Fleury said it yesterday. The quote from Barack Obama, "Don't underestimate Biden's ability to mess things up." And do you think Obama loved the position he was in? He was laughing about it with the funny man, Stephen Colbert. If I could run a campaign from the basement through an earpiece, I'd love that. And then he props up Joe Biden. He wants to be in power, but he also wants America to become divided. He wants to watch this nation fall. And what better way to do it than to put that man in office? And now, who's in control? Who's running the show? I mean, they're all saying, well, it's up to Biden. It's Biden's decision. People in that state of that sickness that he's dealing with, they can't make clear decisions. I mean, it's stunning to think that he's got the nuclear codes, like they always freak out about with Donald Trump. And they're saying it's his decision whether or not he's going to run or not. Of course he's not going to say no. Obama's making it pretty strong now where he stands. He's got the nudge units going. They have no loyalty to Joe Biden. I mean, these are the Hollywood elite, George Clooney, all of them. They always come out with those weird, cheesy, corny videos where there's like 30 of them, and then they all finish each other's sentences and talk about how bad Donald Trump is. These are the people that want to lecture you about morality as they promote the worst smut you've ever seen in their movies. Read that George Clooney article for yourself. Again, like I said, I've not read a lot of George Clooney's literature, but the tone of that article sounds like Barack Obama. Barack Obama's nudge units, they're coming out and they're pushing against Joe Biden. And remember, Obama, he loves those celebrities. This is the Daily Mail, April of 2018. Like the Kennedys, the Obamas often rubbed elbows with celebrities who loved to visit what came to be known as Hollywood East during the president's 8-year term. Bruce Springsteen, George Clooney, and Leonardo DiCaprio were among many stars who came to the White House to hang out with the cool president. That's in 2018. 6 years later, Clooney is the surrogate through which Obama is telling Joe Biden to get out. If that says so much about the way these people operate, you couldn't even just get a straight answer from him. Joe Biden, it's embarrassing. It's so sad. There's a day for everything now. It was Friendship Day. And Joe Biden, he posts this picture of a friendship bracelet, and it says Joe and Barack on it. Oh, how sweet. Obama doesn't care. He doesn't care about Biden at all. And it looks like it's going both ways. They're all in it for themselves. Fox News, again, Mr. Fleury quoted this article, "Obama bros gang up on Biden as long-standing rumors of tension linger, hard to watch." I mentioned those nudge units. Obama, he speaks through these people. This was Politico in 2015, "Obama's effort to nudge America. For the past year, the Obama administration has been running an experiment. Is it possible to make policy more effective by using psychology on citizens. We're not going to be up front. We're going to get the intelligence community to write letters. Politico says the nickname is nudging, the idea that policymakers can change people's behavior just by presenting choices or information differently. Nudging has gained a lot of high-profile advocates, including behavioral law guru Cass Sunstein and former budget czar Peter Orszag. Not everyone likes the idea. The behaviorists are saying that you, consumer, are stupid, said Bill Schuchart, a professor of public choice at Utah State University. But President Obama was intrigued enough that he actually hired Sunstein, a law professor at Harvard, who co-wrote the best-known book about the topic, Nudge. The president officially adopted the idea last year when he launched the White House's Social and Behavioral Science Team, a cross-agency effort to bring behavioral science research into the policy-making process. Now the team has published its first annual report on this experiment. And that's Antiochus. That's the dark arts. That's casting truth to the ground. It's lying. And they make a profession out of it. They're professional liars. I mean, these regime journalists, they've gone rogue in many cases. Obama is losing control. He's got to work through, you know, whatever avenues he has left. I think that's why you're seeing guys like Ben Rhodes get more vocal. Talk about Jon Favreau is back. David Axelrod. I mean, he's got his loyalists and they're speaking up, but he's losing half the media because all of the Biden people thought, oh, Obama loves us. Obama will always be there. He has no loyalty to them. This is Stephanopoulos. This is a Clinton guy. And Stephanopoulos had that big interview with Biden, the cleanup interview that's supposed to make Biden look great, and everyone came out and said, this is not helping. It's not helping. Fox News says the most insane news cycle of the Biden presidency took another bizarre twist this week after ABC's chief political correspondent and anchor of Good Morning America and the Sunday Political Affairs program this week, George Stephanopoulos, decided to respond to a random person's question, filming him on a cell phone while taking a stroll in Manhattan. Do you think Biden should step down? The man asked. You've talked to him more than anybody else has lately. Now, they're saying, normally you just ignore these people. Who's ever going to go and talk to that random person that just approaches you on the street? But George Stephanopoulos, he took advantage of this opportunity. Stephanopoulos looked at this man and said, I don't think he can serve 4 more years. And then ABC, they were irate. Stephanopoulos says he had to come out and apologize for responding to the question. And then ABC says George expressed his own point of view and not the position of ABC News. They don't know how to handle this. And I think what's very revealing is that it shows that these journalists that you see on the news every day, they aren't dumb. They know what's going on, but they're propagandists. They're paid to do it. And you get them in a certain situation, they'll give you their honest take. They'll give you the take that every American who's not on the payroll is gonna say. They're losing control. I mean, it's funny to, or it's hard. It's hard to watch this every day and like, well, who's on what side now? I mean, ABC, the network, their official positions keep propping up Biden. But then you've got their hosts. Stephanopoulos comes out and says he can't do it. ABC says that's not our position. You've got Carville. The other day we played that clip of him calling on Clinton and Obama to just pick a new candidate. The New York Times is totally anti-Biden now. Listen to Chuck Todd. Again, I don't think he has his show with MSNBC anymore. He's doing his own podcast. But notice what he says about Joe Biden.
It has made me want to rethink a lot of the Biden biography. I still can't believe he ran for president in the first place, given that his family was in crisis in 2018. That you look at what has happened, I can't believe he put his family through this. And now looking at his behavior now in clinging to this, I think the entire narrative on Joe Biden is going to change, in that he was He's always been, everything has been about his ambition, and his ambition comes first.
Remember 2020. These are the adults. The adults are back in control. And oh, what was decency is on the ballot. And now they're saying, why won't Biden leave for the sake of this country? Now we're rethinking everything about him. But Chuck Todd, I still can't believe he ran for president in the first place. Now they're going to back their candidate, whoever it is. But these people knew. They all knew. And they just lied to you. And now they can't keep up that lie anymore. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to manage a lie. You've got so many different threads you've got to keep up with. And now they are exposed. Daily Beast, Hunter Biden. How Hunter Biden became his father's gatekeeper. I mean, he's running in there into the White House. And now Obama, he's not dealing with Joe Biden. He's having to deal with Dr. Jill and Hunter, the crack addict. Who could imagine these scenarios 5, 10, 15 years ago? It's amazing this country is still operating at any capacity. We all see the Biden family. We see Obama. We see the media. They can't keep this lie up anymore. I think 2020, that was the big year. It's all exposed. In 2024, we're seeing even more of it exposed. Lee Smith, he called Obama an agent of chaos. Of course they want power, but Obama hates the United States. He loves watching this country crash and burn. God sees all of this. He sees it all. He's his perspective. He's got all of this, you know, under control. He knows exactly what's going on. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion." I mean, this is confusing to human beings. Human beings can't manage these things, but God knows what's going on. Romans 13, verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." We need Bible prophecy to guide us through these things. I mean, you can get so wrapped up in the ins and outs and all these little details, day to day, what's going on, who's controlling who. But what a relief it is to have a Bible prophecy that gives you the big picture. What a relief it is. I was just talking to some of our viewers the other day who came to Celtic Throne, and they are talking about this book and how they loved it so much because it gives you that broad overview to understand these events. Nothing else makes sense. Mr. Fleury talked recently about the media turning on Obama, turning on Biden. This is from Heather McDonald at City Journal. She writes, "The Times, the New York Times, turns on a dime. Says a day after the Biden-Trump debate, the Times ran an editorial calling on Biden to withdraw from the presidential race. Since then, its news, scare quotes omitted, side has run devastating articles about the Democratic donor revolt against Biden, Biden's long history of worrying mental slips, and the tumult within Democratic circles. That coverage has not affected Biden's blithe confidence in his electoral chances or in his mental acuity. On Monday, Biden sent what the Times characterizes as a defiant letter to Congress, daring his Democratic critics to challenge him at the convention. He also delivered what the Times calls fiery remarks on MSNBC denouncing the skeptical elites. Until Biden bows before the inevitable, we can expect to live in an inverted reality in which the mainstream media applies the same journalistic standards to the Democratic frontrunner as it does to the Republican frontrunner. As soon as Biden withdraws, we will return to the status quo before." Again, like I said earlier, what's so revealing is the media aren't dumb. They know what they're doing. This is the propaganda press. This is the regime media. And don't believe them for a second. Don't ever for a moment believe their motives are pure. These are the journalists. This is the Jake Tapper in January 10th, 2017, gets on there with Evan Perez and Jim Schwito. the dossier and Russia and Putin. These are the outlets that brought you the Russia hoax. These are the outlets that told you Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian propaganda. These are the outlets that told you COVID's mortality rate was 3.6% and we were all going to die. These are the outlets that told you lockdowns were good. These are the outlets that told you the 2020 election was perfect. They swooned over Barack Obama for 15 years. Couldn't vet him. Let him right into the White House. They don't care what you think. I mean, maybe some of them are personally offended. They think the White House lied to them about Biden. They live in a world of lies, like Mr. Hilliker wrote about at the Trumpet. They're in their bubble, and they'll do what they have to do to survive in that bubble. I mean, just talking about Russia, this is the Wall Street Journal. This was 2 days ago, this headline. Russia seeks to boost Trump in 2024 election, U.S. intelligence officials say. They can't give that up. There's one commentator that says they're going to reboot this story more than they do Star Wars. This is America under attack. It says, consider the power Barack Obama wields. Zuckerberg, this is Facebook CEO, is one of the world's top CEOs and wealthiest men, yet he is fiercely afraid of Obama. Such men with all their money and power are not actually free. They must be dedicated and loyal to Obama, or else they are not working with Obama. He controls them. With control of the mainstream media, Barack Obama has monstrous influence. With all those people helping him in his agenda, you see that America has become some kind of tyranny, no longer a democratic republic. They try to convince people they are fighting for freedom while pushing the nation into tyranny. Now, some of them, they're still fiercely loyal to Barack Obama, but Joe Scarborough, he's pushing back. And Obama's losing control. I mean, he's going to try all of his usual tactics, but people see what's happening now. They see that these big, powerful institutions have been lying. Again, like I said, it's moments like this where you need Bible prophecy, where you need America under attack. You need that light. And you need that big perspective to see where we are. Again, this is later on in America Under Attack. It says, what happened? This is after this prophecy in Amos 7. It says, what happened to the political Antiochus? There's a definite shift here that suggests a major change in America. We are entering into a different era. The earlier verses prophesied of the Antiochus in the nation who was fighting to destroy Jeroboam. Then suddenly we have another Antiochus who was fighting to try to help Jeroboam survive. Thus we see that Satan forsakes one of his Antiochus types and jumps to another. From Amos 7 verse 7 on, we see no hint of the political Antiochus, Barack Obama. Will God remove him when Jeroboam wars? Will that be the end of the political Antiochus's real power? God does not say definitely, but I believe Amos 7 strongly indicates it. There are certain to be some big changes. On June 27, 2024, what a turning point that is. I've got another clip here. This is from, like I said, Obama. He's going to have his loyalists, and they're coming out. There's one clip here. It is in this clip, where Jon Favreau is speaking on CNN. Now, he's had his podcast for years now. He left Obama, I think, in 2013. But you hardly see this guy. But he was the one that Obama said that they had mind meld. Like, they both thought exactly the same way. And now he's coming out and he's doing interviews. Notice this clip. This is on CNN with David Axelrod and Jon Favreau, clip two.
The thing about the piece, Dana, that I thought was particularly impactful was Clooney, who just hosted a major fundraiser for the president a few weeks ago in California, said you can't win the battle against time. None of us can. It's devastating to say, but Joe Biden I was with 3 weeks ago, the fundraiser, was not the Joe Biden of 2010. He wasn't even the Joe Biden of 2020. He was the same man we all witnessed at the debate. That is devastating. That's devastating.
Yeah, and that's
and it's what people fear.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to ask John about, because, John, you were at that fundraiser as well. I don't know if you spent as much time with President Biden as George Clooney did, since he was one of the hosts. But that, I'm totally with you, David. That quote was like, wow.
I mean, it was not surprising to any of us who were at the fundraiser. I was there. Clooney was exactly right. And every single person I talked to at the fundraiser thought the same thing, except for the people working for Joe Biden, or at least they didn't say that. But I remember my wife, Emily, turned to me after the fundraiser and said, what are we going to do? I mean, and I said, well, there's a debate in a week. Either he'll do well in the debate and we'll think, well, he was just tired because he flew all the way back from Europe and that'll be that. Or he'll be like this at the debate and then the whole country will be talking about it. And so here we are.
And there's a wow factor about that clip, and that what they're saying about Biden and how they all knew. But listen to Favreau. They're saying it's not surprising to any of us who were at the fundraiser. Everyone there at the fundraiser thought the same thing. How come they didn't come and defend all of the people who played that video of Biden and Obama? And when Karine Jean-Pierre came out and said it's a cheap fake, why didn't Jon Favreau come out and say, actually, he's lost? Why didn't George Clooney come out then and say, that is not a cheap fake? That's what we all witnessed. That's what we all experienced. But again, my point earlier is, look who's coming out. I mean, there's a part of you that wonders, is Obama getting desperate to bring these guys back out to speak? Because normally you could bank on the regular CNN host just giving Obama's talking points. But now he's got to go back to his loyalists. He's got to go find Ben Rhodes and Jon Favreau. This is what the Daily Mail wrote. This is their headline, admittedly one of their shorter headlines, actually. The Daily Mail in 2013. This is after Jon Favreau retired as one of Obama's speechwriters. Obama's chief speechwriter and mind reader will leave his White House job to pen screenplays after 8 years with the president. That's who was just playing in that clip. These are the people that we're dealing with. CNN, like I mentioned earlier, it seems like they're taking a lot more or a stronger anti-Biden approach. MSNBC seems like they're coming out more pro-Biden. Listen to this clip. This is Jake Tapper. I mean, he's relentless now. They're finally, they wouldn't do it for Donald Trump. They wouldn't ever read the quotes from him because the context shows that what he was saying was not nearly what the media was portraying it as. And then for Biden, it's the same thing. Don't read it. We'll just trust us to give you the context. Well, now they've started. Snopes fact-checked a lot of these anti-Trump claims about the suckers and losers and what was the other one? The Charlottesville hoax, and they said the context, they quote him verbatim, Donald Trump didn't say that, and now they're quoting Joe Biden verbatim. Jake Tapper is doing that a lot. He's just reading the transcript of what Joe Biden says. Notice this is clip three.
Now, what's interesting is, of course, Speaker Pelosi knows that Biden has already made his decision and announced his decision, saying that he's staying in the race. She knows that. Remember, he declared it publicly just last Friday.
Well, let me say this as clearly as I can. I'm staying in the race. I'll beat Donald Trump. I will beat him again in 2020.
Your ears did not deceive you there. That's President Biden trying to assure folks concerned about his cognitive skills by saying that he's going to beat Donald Trump and win in 2020. 2020.
Can you believe that? Jake Tapper, your ears did not deceive you. We're going to play the whole clip and we're going to read the quote for you. What is happening right now in the Beltway? I wanted to read this quote from you. This is from a podcast. This was an interview with Ezra Klein. He's a staunch left winger. He used to work for Vox. I think he was one of the guys who started that. But this transcript from this podcast has been going around because Ezra Klein, like all of these other people that we've played, he's talking to a lot of Democrats. And he says in this interview that a lot of them are saying things like, I can live with Donald Trump winning. He said, I've had top Democrats say to me basically something like, I don't know why all these Democrats who think Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy are acting the way they are. But the reason I'm acting the way I am is because I don't think that. Wow. They all know. They all know it's hyperbole about Donald Trump being a dictator and an authoritarian. Klein says, I find it maddening, but I do find it consistent. Look, you can say this is true in a lot of things, right? It's a charge Republicans always throw at liberals, which is that if they really believe climate change is such a problem, they wouldn't fly on planes. And I think that people's means and ends are less connected than this. I mean, it's a charade. I mean, a lot of people are probably going to rally around Donald Trump. It says that he's King Jeroboam. I mean, there's definitely the staunch haters of Donald Trump who aren't going to change, who are ready to fight on the streets for that civil war. I mean, they were on call in 2020. They were out destroying in 2020, and then they were on call, like Time Magazine said. We need America under attack to understand all of this. Can Donald Trump save America? I mean, this is God. God is teaching. These are teaching moments for America. This is America under attack. Again, Mr. Fleury writes, prophecies in Amos 7 and 2 Kings 14 reveal why God is saving America through Jeroboam. America is the superpower of these three nations and their peoples. God is not going to allow Mr. Obama and the radical left to blot out the name of Israel. He will expose this conspiracy so the world can see the truth. America's temporary resurgence gives these three nations, America, Britain, and Israel, and their peoples one last chance to repent. But that window will remain open only for a few short years or less. Soon we will face consequences for not heeding God's warning, as you will see in later chapters of this book. I mean, these are all teaching moments. There is time. How are you going to respond to these events? Just going through, we've been encouraged over the last year to read through Psalm 119. And there are a lot of verses that just stood out to me personally about how Jeremiah he's in the midst of affliction. And he's talking about the tests and the trials that he goes through. And his reaction is not, well, I need to hire a great lawyer. I've got to work all this out on my own. His response is just obey God more. Go to God more. I mean, just a couple verses here. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. Verse 51, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from your law. Like, obedience is his offensive weapon here. I'm not going to play their game. I'm just going to turn to God. I'm going to let him handle this. Verse 61, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Like, he could say, I got to go get my stuff back. I'm going to play their game. He just says, I'm going to obey more. I'm going to turn to God. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not your precepts. The wicked, verse 95, have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. Just go to God. Go to the book. Obey more as your weapon of offense. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from your precepts. Verse 115, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. In the midst of all of those tests and trials, in the midst of that chaos, his response is, obey God. Turn to God's law. And the Royal Vision, that's another free magazine that we offer. request that for free. I mean, Mr. Gerald Fleury has written a lot of articles about Psalm 119 over the last year. Precious truth. I'll conclude with one more quote from America Under Attack. It says, God is deeply emotional about this. When he saves Israel, it is only temporary, but he yearns to save Israel permanently. He derives no pleasure in seeing people suffer. This is why he pleads with these people, crying out through his faithful work, beseeching them to repent of their sins. God is full of mercy and love, and he is quick to forgive and protect. But to receive God's forgiveness and protection, the people of America and any person of any race or nation must repent. We must stop sinning, stop rebelling against God's law, and stop resisting God. Request this book if you haven't already. Read through the entire thing, America Under Attack. That is all that I have time for on today's show. Again, if you would like to send any comments to the show, email those to td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you very much for joining us.